Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. This morning I'm preaching from the font. Paul is very concerned about sin. That struggle that you heard about from Mindy and Judy and Rachel was a struggle that comes right from Romans chapter 7. We didn't make that up. That's sort of the internal battle that Paul is waging in this part of Romans. So listen to the word of the Lord as it's recorded from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not know what I want, or I do not do what I want, but I do the very things I hate. Now I do what I do not want. I agree that the law is good, but in fact it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good thing I want, but the evil thing I do not want is what I do. Now I do what I do not want. It is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war within the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're celebrating baptism today, and Paul spends a lot of time talking about it. In Romans chapter 7 is one of the great passages of Scripture, where Paul talks about how he's not able to do what he wants to do. The very law that he loves, the word of God that he loves and preaches and aspires to, is not a goal that he can reach. And so he's at war with himself, with this sin that's in a fight with him. For Paul's writing, there's always sort of this dichotomy between light and dark, good and evil, the body and the spirit, heaven and earth. And Paul has a way of dividing things out very simply, left or right, dark or light, up or down. And Paul's doing that here. He's talking about this struggle he's having with sin, how his physical body cannot do what his spiritual body ascribes to do. In most Presbyterian services of worship, we gather near the beginning of the service to confess our sins. And often we do that around a font, or we give a nod to where the font is. We sometimes pour water, like we do at our church. We do it to be reminded of God's grace, of God's sustaining grace. We do it also to pause and to say, oh God, it's hard to follow you when we follow so many other things, so forgive me. We gather at the font to say, oh God, we want to be your disciples, but it's hard to be your disciple when we are, in fact, disciples of so many other things. Oh God, we want to see you and do what you do, but it's hard to do that when we fill our vision with so many other things and distractions. We are sorry. We apologize. We confess. We do that at the font, and we repent. Repent only means to turn. It means to turn from the wayward way we sometimes find ourselves to be on, and we reorient to God's way, to repent, to change, to turn. Why do we do it at the font? We do it at the font to be reminded that we are God's, that God holds us in God's hands, and God loves us no matter what. No matter what we do, no matter how far we go astray, God loves us all the time. I have a trick question I often ask children. I say, does God love us all the time? And children say, yes, God loves us all the time. And then I say, this is the trick. Does God love us when we do bad things? No, God doesn't love us when we do bad things. And then I say, well, I thought you said God loves us all the time. Yes, God loves us all the time. Well, then does God love us when we do bad things? And I say, yes, God loves us when we do bad things. But God doesn't love the bad things we do, does God? And they say, no, God doesn't love the bad things we do. But God always loves us, right? And they say, yes. And it's so marvelous to see that light click on in their heads. I probably shouldn't trick little children, should I? But I always do that when adults are around. Because we adults often think that we are unlovable and unredeemable, and we've gone so far astray that it will take a miracle to get us back on track. And that's why we confess our sins at the font, to remind ourselves that we've already been washed and cleaned. We've already been sustained, and we will be sustained for and to the end of our days. Baptism reminds us that we are claimed by God. That we are claimed by God, and God's hands are so big, none of us can fall out. So, this is where we confess our sins. This is where we admit, like Paul was admitting, that there's something going on inside of me that I can't seem to do it right or get it right. Oh, God, help me. Forgive me, God. We gather here to say that prayer because we are reminded that God does forgive us. And so God's justifying love and sanctifying work is symbolized in just a little pool of water. Now, Christians have been baptized in rivers, deep and wide or very shallow. They've been baptized with sprinkles or with pouring, the pouring of water. However it's done, it's a symbol of God's salvific grace in the power of the Spirit. So the water reminds us of what God has mightily done by the Spirit. We confess our sins here. Now, raise your hand if you like to talk about sin. I don't. I don't like to talk about sin. I'd like to think that I'm a pretty good person. I'd like to think that I'm above sin, that by and large, I don't sin. The Apostle Paul, if he were watching the news with us and listening to a lot of people like me talk about systemic racism, Paul would be listening very closely because it's a conversation he recognizes, this struggle with what's inside of us that's been systemically part of our lives. Paul would be listening very closely. And whenever somebody like me, a do-gooder who says, you know, I'm not guilty of racism, I'm not guilty of that sin, I like everybody, I try really hard. At that point, the Apostle Paul, I think, would laugh loudly in my face. You are a part of that, Matt. It's a part of who you are. It's ingrained in you. And so that's why you are right as a Presbyterian, right as a Christian, to confess your sins, to admit to God early and often that I have gone astray, that the very things I want to do are the things I can't do well. I can't do without help. Oh God, wretched person that I am, who can save me from this dilemma? Paul would say and does say, thanks be to God, Jesus Christ saves us from this dilemma. We can't wash ourselves. We can't clean ourselves. We can't fully turn by ourselves. It is because of the grace of God that we are able to do these things. And that grace is what does the cleaning, what does the redeeming, not our action, not our faith, not our belief, not our effort, but the grace of God, which is why we gather at the font. Listen to these words. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ were baptized into his death? So baptism is a metaphor for Paul, but so is death. We who have been baptized have been baptized like Jesus into death with Jesus. Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death. So just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in this newness of life. So we gather at the font to confess our sins, to be reminded that it's God who redeems and saves us, and our efforts just don't add up. They don't work. There are two stories that I'd remind you to help you think through this, to help me think through it, that are quite powerful. Paul arrived at this idea that he can't do it alone when he was leaving Jerusalem down the Damascus Road to find Christians to persecute. Paul was a faithful Jewish person. He cared very much about God's law, and he saw defending the synagogue from those people who followed the way, that is, Christians, was a holy and just and right thing to do. He was zealous. There's not a thing wrong with those things, not a thing wrong with being zealous, not a thing wrong with defending against the wrong. On the way to Damascus, Jesus appeared to Paul in a vision, a bright light, literally knocking Paul off his high horse. And Jesus said, "Saul, Saul," that was Paul's name before Paul, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" It's there that Paul realized that God goes not half the way to meet us, God goes all the way to meet us, and that God delivers us from ourselves, not because of our effort or because of our prayerfulness or our desire to be holy, but because that's just what God does. God does not meet us halfway. God does not give us the grace to go the whole way. God meets us the whole way, walks with us the whole way, carries us the whole way. That idea influenced all of Paul's writing, including what he says in Romans chapter 7 about how can I do this on my own, oh wretched man that I am. He says, I don't have to do it on my own. Jesus the Christ, by God's grace, does it for me. Another story that's worth keeping in mind is the story of Jesus. Pick any of the stories you like. Jesus is the one who came by God's grace to redeem the world. We read in Luke's gospel that God became incarnate to be with us in Jesus the Christ, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us. We read in Matthew's gospel that I am with you always, Jesus says, even to the close of the age. John would say that Jesus is the living word, the logos, the light of the world. It is this gift of Christ, not meeting us halfway, but coming all the way for us, that reminds us of the good news of this font. We can confess our sins. We can admit our shortcoming, and we should. But we do so here knowing that God's grace is sufficient for us, and we don't need to rely on our own action to cleanse us or to pull us up. That God does that in Jesus Christ. So, who is in a position to condemn? These are other words from Paul, from Corinthians, and from Romans. Only Christ is in a position to condemn. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in heaven for us. Christ prays for us. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. Friends, we've been invited to live this new life, to let our guilt go, to turn towards God and to follow God, knowing that God walks with us and sustains us along the way. It's not up to us. All we need to do is cling and hold fast to the one who says, come, follow me. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.